Hello there and welcome to the Spread Nesson's Football Picks Podcast, Week 7. I am Nesson.com's Mike Cole, joined as always by Ricky Doyle. Ricky, how are you?
I was doing better until I looked at the schedule for this week.
The Week 7 slate of NFL football games is not good, and we will dig into that slate somewhat. This week we'll make our against the spread picks for the three, with an asterisk, best games of the week. We'll do locks and upsets. We'll talk to Nesson betting analyst Sam Panionovich. And then we will hit the dusty trail. As we have talked to you and I ad nauseum within the last 48 hours, this is a terrible, terrible week of football.
Yeah. And it comes at a time where there's a lot of other stuff going on in the sports world as well. So I know that, we've had our hands full with plenty going on in these parts.
Yep.
Up in New England. And so it's hard to get too jazzed up for a lot of these games, but we'll do our best as we always do.
Yeah. So as mentioned, we'll do the three best games of the week. We have a little bit of a wrinkle for the third of the three this week.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll get to that eventually.
It's like a biannual tradition,
yes,
I would say.
Of course.
It's not unprecedented, but it's not something we do very often.
It's not a thing that
desperate
I
times call for desperate measures.
Before we do that, we have to look back at last week to see how we did and see lessons we could have learned. Ricky, you had a tough week last week.
What did I go?
5-11.
5-11, wow.
It was a good early. Very badly.
Wow.
I went 9-7.
I'm going to check the numbers on. I don't think it was that bad.
I double checked, but you could check too. Yeah. We're running on fumes here. It's been a lot of late nights recently.
Our former partner in crime, Andre Cacciatorian, would say, it's October. Not a lot of sleep gets.
I meant to send him a text this morning as I was pulling out of the Dunkin' Donuts parking lot with the extra large coffee. That's how you know when you get the extra large hot coffee that is about seven feet tall. It feels like that's when you know. All right, let's get into Week 7. We'll start in the AFC North. I believe this is a 1 o'clock. Actually, I know it is a 1 o'clock kick. The 1 o'clock window is actually halfway decent. I can't remember the last time we had the 4 o'clock window be as bad as it is this week. I don't know if you broke it down by time yet.
Yeah.
It's so bad. But this is actually a pretty good game, and this is one I'm actually kind of looking forward to, which means I probably won't be able to see it because it'll be blacked out here in New England, but that's neither here nor there. We have the Cincinnati Bengals coming off of their blowout win in Detroit last week, heading to Baltimore to take on a Ravens team that is coming off of an impressive win of its own against L.A. last week, the Chargers. The Ravens at home here laying 6 points as favorites. The total currently set at 47. The public looks pretty split on this so far. Last time these two teams met was late last season. Baltimore just mollywopped the Bengals 38-3. If I'm not mistaken, the Bengals have yet to beat the Ravens with Lamar Jackson under center. Will it be a different scenario here this time around, Ricky?
This is AFC North football.
This is. You I was actually thinking about this when I was driving in. This morning. I did a lot of thinking in my drive this morning, obviously. This feels like I want this game to be in December. Like, it's a little too early for this game. But
yeah, no, this is the one outlier this week. This is a game that I'm a little excited about. Yeah. I could really talk myself into it. And I'm taking the points. I'm taking Cincinnati in this game. And really, for me, it comes down to what they've done defensively. Like, it almost feels like, you know, coming into the year, I think we both had questions about Cincinnati's defense, much in the same way that I know at least I did. I had questions about Arizona's defense. And now it's like you're seeing these teams and they have that offensive firepower, and then the defenses are just outperforming your expectations. And really, it's just, you know, I look at Cincinnati, the secondary is getting healthy. I mean, you got an actual pass rush now. Talent at the second level. So I do think they're going to cause some problems for Baltimore's offense. I think, you know, you got both teams coming off the blowout win. I think the Ravens in particular were a team that the public's probably going to be pretty high on right now. So I don't know. I think this is a lot of points for two teams that at the end of the day are somewhat evenly matched.
I love Cincinnati here.
Yeah.
We're in lockstep on this one for the first time in a while. I went 5-0 last week, by the way, on the show. Just wanted to put that in there.
So I feel a lot better about my pick now.
or there's regression coming. I'm actually on the other side in terms of the reasoning, though. I think Cincinnati's going to have its way with Baltimore's defense. And the numbers look okay for Baltimore's defense. And by the way, you look at the schedule for both these teams, not very impressive. I will say that outright. Cincinnati's four wins have come against Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, and Detroit, whereas the Ravens have beaten the Chiefs, Lions, Denver, Indy, and Chargers. So a little bit better on that side. But when Baltimore's had to play, you know, halfway decent passing offenses, mainly Kansas City and Vegas, I'll use for the sake of my argument. I'll just completely – I forget what Herbert did last week. But, you know, against Kansas City and Vegas, 8.6 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. They got torched by those two passing attacks. I think Cincinnati's in a similar spot here where there's just a lot of weapons between Chase, Higgins, Boyd. You know, they've got Mixon to give them a little bit of balance. I thought it was interesting. Maybe this is not completely out of the ordinary, but Mixon's snap count is basically 50-50 pass versus run. So it's they're not giving a ton in his usage. I guess that's typical of a lead back, whatever. But, yeah, I think there's a chance here for them to kind of get some big plays offensively, especially through the air. Baltimore is a team that needs to blitz or wants to blitz to generate pressure. They have the fourth highest blitz rate in the NFL. Burrow, 136 passer rating against the blitz. So Joe Burrow is in it. You know, the one thing with him is his interceptions have been a bit of an issue. I think he's thrown like 7 picks so far this year. But if he can take care of the football at least a little bit, they're in a good spot to you know, move it up and down the field against a secondary that from the jump had injury issues. And, you know, I think they haven't looked especially good against teams that can actually throw the ball.
Yeah, that was my thing going into last week why I liked the Chargers in that game was because of the issues that Baltimore has had in the secondary. But they were never really able to take advantage of that because Baltimore just came out and sort of just ran it down their throats.
Right.
I just think that Baltimore offense got to face a little more resistance this week against a team that is just really balanced. Like I'm kind of coming around on the Bengals a little bit. Like I think coming into the year, expect them to be pretty good offensively because of that depth. Like they, you know, they got 3 or 4 really good wide receivers. You got, you know, Joe Mixon coming out of the backfield. I think Burrow is legit. So like you got some building blocks on that offensive side, but I just think the moves that they've made on the defensive side have sort of turned them into a legitimate actual potential playoff contender.
This is a massive test for them defensively, though.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't hurt the Bengals' chances that Latavius Murray sprained his ankle and is going to miss 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. So you've got Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell coming out of the backfield.
Just the 2016 like Pro Bowl trio.
But I will say, I think I have to make this point, considering I made the same point against Baltimore, is that you look at the Cincinnati schedule, I ran through that. The passing, you know, Baltimore might be at a point where the passing offense is their biggest strength. And against the teams with halfway decent passing offenses, I already messed up the schedule here. I had Green Bay and Minnesota. Sorry. I had Green Bay and Cincinnati, and they are Cincinnati. So Green Bay and Minnesota, the Bengals allowed 335 passing yards per game. And like their other three games, their other four games, we got Chicago, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, and Detroit, who might be like the four worst passing teams in the NFL. So they're going to get tested, I think, on all levels here, through the air, on the ground. I still think, you know, the Ravens will probably still find a way to do something on the ground just because it's what they do.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very tough test for Cincinnati, but I think they're ready for it. I think they're in the spot. This is a good spot for them where maybe the Ravens are feeling pretty good about themselves after last week, whereas Cincinnati kind of looks at this as a chance to really make an imprint in the AFC North. So
it's a lot of points. You know what
that's
I mean?
The other too, yeah.
We're not just talking about like a field goal.
This
here
feels like a 3.5, 4.5 point game.
Yeah,
and
6 points.
Six. And it was 6.5. It got down to 6. So get it while you can, I think. So that'll be a good one. So another one that seems good on the surface, at least, is also, I believe, a 1 o'clock kick. You got the Kansas City Chiefs heading to Nashville to take on the Titans. Chiefs coming off of the final score is convincing. They beat Washington fairly easily. That game did not play out necessarily the way that the final score looked. Another struggle for Patrick Mahomes, relatively speaking, who looks more and more mortal by the week. They go to Nashville, as I said, to take on the Titans. The Titans team that should have seen that one coming. I feel like an idiot. The Titans just a final stand there, played a very good game against Buffalo, beat a Bills team that probably was riding a little too high That was a Monday night game, so it is a short week here for Tennessee. The Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites on the road in Nashville.
You like? That was a classic case of, I think both of us acknowledge it. We're like, this is probably a letdown spot for Buffalo, but, and it's like,
yeah.
Why didn't we just stop the sentence there? Why did we continue on
not
by
to mention,
trying to
like,
reason into why Buffalo was going to win that game? And
this is an interesting test case here, too, because like Tennessee, how good are you?
Yeah.
Like they averaged, I think, like 6.5 yards, 7 yards per play last week. That offense finally looked good against a good defense, too.
And see, my thing about the Chiefs looking relatively unimpressive in that win over Washington is that, you get to the final score, and they do cover, and it does look lopsided. Yeah. And that is, like, the biggest danger of it going against the Chiefs is that, like, no matter how it looks, there's still a very good chance that, like, at the end of the day, a couple of plays here and there, and all of a sudden they're winning by a couple of touchdowns. So I guess with that in mind, this is a spot where I am willing to back Kansas City because I need to see it again from Tennessee. I'm just not sure how good they are because up until that Buffalo game, which, like we just said, was a big letdown spot for the Bills. So I think maybe that it said that was more an indication of where they are at in the schedule as opposed to what Tennessee's true talent level is, because I'm not sure that Tennessee defense is any good. I think their offense has showed strides. There is obviously the success that they have on the ground has the potential to cause serious problems for Kansas City's run defense. But I just think the Chiefs, they have the offense to compensate for those defensive flaws. And I'm just not sure you can say the same about the Titans. I think one stat that I sort of look at with these two teams, the Chiefs being fourth in net yards per drive and the Titans being 17th. In other words, your offensive yards per drive minus your defensive yards per drive. So that just tells me that Kansas City is able to make up for, having one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Whereas the Titans, I think they're also there. I think they have a bottom 10 defense, maybe. And their offense, while it has, like I said, it seems to be trending in the right direction. I just don't know if it's at that level yet where it's going to be able to make up for those defensive shortcomings.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Chiefs too. And for all the Kansas City's issues so far this year, they're still third in the league in scoring percentage per drive. So, like, it's weird. Like,
it's a very strange
just
team.
Behind Buffalo and Dallas. Like, there's so maybe they're not punching in touchdowns as often. I don't know. Maybe they're not scoring from the big play explosiveness.
The thing
isn't there.
It's the turnovers.
That's true. But
14 turnovers this year. Mahomes, 8 interceptions through the 6 games.
So
he's got 11 in the last 2 seasons combined.
They either score or they turn it over.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. Is like, so if you got rid of those turnovers, mix in a punt here and there, I know, like, they're going to start just dump trucking teams.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, have they just been sort of victimized by turnover luck this year? Or
I don't think it's turnover luck because it's been a lot of interceptions.
Yeah. And I guess, like, it's sort of a chicken and egg thing. Because then you look last year and, the past few seasons, they've had their turnover margin was excellent. So it's like, now is it regressing to the mean?
Yeah.
The other way.
They do lead the league in fumbles lost. So that seems like...
Only Jacksonville has a worse turnover differential than Kansas City. I think that evens out at some point.
So I'm taking the Chiefs, as I said. My biggest issue here with feeling any sort of confidence in taking the Titans is they are just ravished by injuries. So they lost Christian Fulton was having a really nice season. He got hurt. They put him on IR or something after week 5. They've just lost their first-round pick, Caleb Farley, towards ACL. So they're down 2 guys in the secondary, 2 of their better, or at least more talented players. Now you've got bad offense coming in, and I know they've been kind of banged up, the Chiefs have, but, a fairly advantageous spot here. Taylor Lewan, it doesn't seem like he's going to be playing this weekend. I don't know. That's some pretty noticeable injury issues. Plus, Kansas City is starting to get a little healthier on the defense as well. I think Chris Jones might be back this week. Sorry if I'm mistaken on that. So there's, I don't know. The injury situation feels like it's trending in the right way for the Chiefs as opposed to the Titans, who are just a mess. I will say Anthony Hitchens, the linebacker, probably won't play for Kansas City. But I don't know. The Chiefs feel ready to blow doors again.
They have faced some really good competition too.
That's fair.
Like they've had a tough schedule. They've been tested. I feel like up until that Buffalo game, the Titans were just sort of bottom. I think going into week six, there were only six teams in the NFL that had a worse overall DVOA. So like they were, down there with the Jets and the Texans and the Jaguars of the world. And then, I don't know. Obviously, it's a nice win against Buffalo, but Josh Allen doesn't slip on that fourth down,
right,
and they punch that in. Like the narrative's a little bit different. Yeah. Obviously, Buffalo still wouldn't have covered, but if Tennessee was coming into this game off a loss, I think we would feel a lot differently about the situation.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, not us, obviously, because we're...
No, yeah. And I think a lot of people are lining up to take the Chiefs this week, so I don't think it's a huge... I don't think we're out on an island here or anything like that, but...
No, it's just, for me, it's kind of not overthinking it. Like, it's the Chiefs, it's less than a touchdown against a mediocre team with a shaky defense. Like, I can live with that.
Yeah, I will say, though, I did look this up. I was interested to take. Since the start of last season, the Chiefs is favorites of 6 points or fewer. 6 points or less. 6 points or fewer. That's always
it's a good grammatical.
They're 4-2 straight up. Just 1-4-1 against the spread. So they've actually struggled to cover short spreads, too. That being said, I like it a lot more here. Not to throw water on our own arguments. That's all I'm good at. All right, our third game.
What are we going to do here?
Ricky,
how do we want to tackle this?
Why don't you give me a number between 1 and 3?
Okay. 4. let's go with 2. Let's go right in the middle.
Got the Indianapolis Colts and the San Francisco 49ers. We are just completely not flying blind, but by the seat of our pants here.
Well, really, what were the options for our third? That are newcomers to the program, we usually do the three best games of the week.
Oh, yeah, I probably should have mentioned that. So the three games that we were looking at this week were that game with the Chicago Bears as 12.5-point underdogs at Tampa Bay. And
I think Sam will get into that a little bit as well.
Sam might touch on that as well. And our third game was Philly at Las Vegas, a game that, similar to this Colts 49ers game, seems okay, but it's really not because you don't know how good either team is.
I might have some thoughts on that game. But let's stick with the Colts Niners.
Worked out pretty well, didn't it, Ricky?
I think so.
Wow. Who'd have thunk it? So this is
looking at your paper.
Sunday Night Football. You got the Indianapolis Colts going to Santa Clara to take on the 49ers. The 49ers are laying 4.5 points here. Colts, impressive win last week. Just absolutely obliterating the Texans after kind of toying with them early. The 49ers are coming off of a bye.
Yeah, and we also don't really know what's going on with that quarterback situation.
Yeah, so this is a great idea. But
this is already kind of blown up in our face.
The fact that there's a line at DraftKings Sportsbook and in a lot of places might kind of tip their hand about how they feel about the quarterback situation.
Yeah, and I don't know if it really matters to me in this matchup. I think, I think the strength of that Indianapolis defense is stopping the run. I think it's sort of strength on strength. Like if San Francisco is going to try to run the ball, and I don't know if their quarterback play is at a point with either guy that they're going to be able to take advantage of Indianapolis' secondary. So, I like the Colts in this game. I think that. They'll, like I said, take away what San Francisco is going to try to do offensively, and the quarterback play is it's just going to continue to be it what it is for San Francisco. Like I don't know. Like
49ers come in, they lost 3 in a row.
I say that as somebody who hasn't really been high on the Colts this year.
I'm trying very hard not to overreact to what the Colts did last week. But they kind of moved the ball pretty well, especially through the air. There's not a ton of resistance from Houston. But their passing offense is kind of rounding into form a little bit. They looked okay the week before on Monday night at was that in Baltimore? The game was in Baltimore. The week before that, they won at Miami before we all realized how bad Miami really was. But like that Monday night game, Carson Wentz, 25 of 35, 400 yards, 2 touchdowns, didn't throw an interception. That Miami game, I'm looking it up right now too, because it feels like it was better than it was. And now I clicked the wrong button. So this is off to a miserable start. But they,
well, the Colts offense,
throw the ball better. Yeah,
they've got
32, 230, 2 touchdowns.
It's they have some pieces, and it's like now they're kind of figuring out how to use them. Like it felt like for the first few weeks, it was like,
but,
how do we use Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah.
Like how do we get Michael Pittman more involved? And like T.Y. Hilton, you brought they got him back. So like,
so the problem now is like, how good do you think San Francisco's defense is? I don't know.
Not very. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because, like, that's the thing. So the last three weeks, a tough game in Tennessee 4 weeks ago. They tough start to the season for Indy, but they're starting to figure it out a little bit. But, like, Miami, Baltimore, Houston is not an overly difficult stretch of defenses to face. So, I'm just trying to figure out. Does, like, San Francisco kind of fit into that group? And if it does, give me the points. I'm going to take the points anyway because I think they have a good chance of moving the ball. And to your point, like with the uncertainty regarding San Francisco's quarterback situation, that feels like not very conducive to winning. I like the Colts to win outright here.
They're kind of like the AFC and NFC counterparts, like in that sort of like next tier down, like could kind of go either way with their season. Both well coached. I think that's another thing. Like I think Indianapolis is well coached enough that I'm feel comfortable taking points. And
yeah, Indy's also got the injuries on the offensive line too, I meant to mention. So maybe San Francisco a little better in the trenches. Difference is like San Francisco is, well, I guess with the Russell Wilson injury, it kind of changes things a little bit, but like they're in danger of falling out of that divisional race if things get any more hairy. So maybe coming out of a bye, they're a little bit motivated here, but Indy's in the same boat. They want to keep pace in the north, the south with Tennessee.
I mean, we're
one of these teams going to be
one step away from, I don't know who that was, their third string quarterback, Nick Mullins or something, CJ Beathard, like, you know, some random guy coming in and logging significant playing time, because it sounds like it's probably the Garoppolo practice on Monday or Tuesday. It doesn't sound like Trey Lance is going to be ready to go, so
they literally don't have a third quarterback listed on the ESPN depth chart.
So that could be a problem. Like, you know, if you're looking at one of these guys being available, and then there's some sort of issue throughout that game, I don't know. That could throw another wrinkle into things.
Jesus. Yeah. So I actually think that this is, now that we talk about it, like, it's not the worst football game in the world.
No, it's not terrible. I think I just...
For a Sunday night game?
I think I talked myself into it. I'll watch a quarter and a half.
Now my biggest thing in the world is trying to find who their third quarterback is.
That's another game, too, where it's like, it's a decent chunk of points, 4.5. Like, this feels like a field goal game to me.
That's a fair point, too, yeah. All right, let's do locks and upsets if we can figure out a way to piece this together. Who is your lock this week?
Lock, I am going to take the Patriots, 7-point favorites over the Jets. It boils down. I mean, we're 5 weeks removed from the Patriots winning. It was 25-6 as 5.5-point road favorites. Obviously, the Patriots have fallen on some tough times here, but I still feel like a team that is capable of beating up on bad teams, and I say that after they struggled with Houston, but I don't know. I think the Jets offensively, I don't think they're at a point where they're going to cause too many problems to the Patriots defense. That just feels like a get-right spot for the Patriots. When was the last time the Patriots beat the Jets? 2015.
Jeez.
You know, like we're going a ways back.
Yeah, but how many guys on either of those rosters?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I get what you're saying, though.
But
I just
this
think it's
is
funny to be like, eh, it's just.
I just, that offense is still something about it. And they are just not only like their ability to or inability to move the football, but just the mistake plays.
I actually think their offense could be good if they could just figure out how to protect Wilson. And they just
and they can't. Yeah. And the turnover potential there.
Because you do look at the numbers and like their like explosive play rate is actually pretty high. Like they can get chunks, but like they just can't. Those are few and far between. It's usually like Wilson.
You get, they'll have
the
chunks and then they'll blow chunks when like there's a sack that pushes them outside that's a field exactly goal range, right, or something like like the case in London.
Well, they force it. Yeah, that's a really good.
It's just they just sort of have a knack for shooting themselves in the foot. Maybe they get over that at some point, but going on the road in New England, where the Patriots got to win at home at some point, right? Why not this week?
You would think. Yeah, whether they cover the spread is a lot of points. This is a square pick according to Sam, because he's going to mention this one at a certain point. But for my lock, I like Carolina, 3-point favorites on the road at the Giants. Giants dead last in the entire NFL with 21 knockdowns and or sacks. Sam Darnold has not been good, especially since Christian McCaffrey got hurt, but his passer rating is nearly 40 points higher when he's kept clean as opposed to when he's under pressure. When you look at New York's defense, literally half of their defensive drives end in a score for their opponent. So I think this is a good spot where Carolina is able to move the ball. Is Gilmore going to play this week? I know he practiced today.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. They are in a bit of an issue with their secondary, but I think they find a way. The Giants feel like they gave a little bit of a little effort there a few weeks ago, then just fell back into it. They seem resigned to their fate.
The wheels came off early. Once the injury started piling up for them, that was game over.
Not to put you on the spot, but if there's a double-digit favorite that you would feel good going with, because they are right now 1, 2, 3 games, and they're all in the 4 o'clock window with point spreads of 12.5 points or higher. I mean, I guess Tampa Bay has the lowest spread. You probably feel best about them, right? I mean,
yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe Arizona. I mean, I know that's up there. That's 17.5, but I mean, Houston, I mean, once it starts going south for them, it turns ugly.
It is true, and this is a tough one. We should have brought this up with Sam. Like, Arizona is much better than Indianapolis. And Indianapolis just beat them 31-3.
Just took it to them. Yeah.
So.
Also, I mean, if you want to play into the narratives, I mean, you got the J.J. Watt revenge game. You got the
DeAndre Hopkins
revenge game. So
David Johnson.
Maybe keep their foot on the gas a little longer than maybe they would.
Maybe. But they have a Thursday night game against Green Bay the week after. So that's something to keep in mind, too. I thought that was interesting. I might actually lean the Rams, and the Rams are laying 15 against the Lions. So the fact that we're all over the place with those three games kind of tells you just how much of a mess this is. Who's your upset, Ricky, before we get to Sam?
Upset, I'm going to take the Eagles. They're 3-point underdogs against the Raiders in Vegas, plus 135 on the money line. This just feels to me like a letdown spot for the Raiders after that. They rode high into that Broncos matchup coming off the coaching change. This feels like a week where normalcy sort of settles in. Eagles coming off the extra rest, having played on Thursday night, showed a little bit of fight late in that game, beat the Panthers the week before. I think they're ultimately going to be able to generate some pressure up the middle on the defensive side, maybe force Derek Carr into some tough throws, which he's made to this point. I mean, his big throw percentage or whatever it is like off the charts, which is
sick.
But
that stat, by the way, very subjective.
I just think ultimately this is a letdown spot for the Raiders after just a really weird win over the Broncos. I think it spoke more about the Broncos. That team stinks.
Yeah. Feel bad about that. For my upset, I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins getting 2.5 points at home against Atlanta, despite the fact that Miami just played in London last week. Well, there's two reasons I'm doing this. It's because I don't think Atlanta's very good. Did Atlanta have a bye last week, too?
Yeah.
What a miserable spot for Miami here. Nobody believes in us game now.
Yeah, there you go.
Everything is going against them here, coming home from London to play a team that has been sitting at home for the last 2 weeks or a week and a half or whatever. But that being said, I still don't think Atlanta is very good. So them laying points on the road is just, it feels icky for me. And I think my bigger thing is Tua Tagovailoa actually looked halfway competent. You know, 33-47 for 329 against the Jags. I don't think there's a whole lot of resistance coming from Atlanta here. Miami, I haven't checked their injury report, but they can't be any worse than it was last week. They're just wounded ducks left and right. I don't know. This feels like a chance to kind of be like, oh, maybe Miami isn't as bad as we think they are because they were at rock bottom at a certain point.
Yeah, I was just going to say, from a value standpoint, you can't get any lower than losing outright to the Jaguars.
Right.
overseas, mind you.
This opened with Miami laying points at home and quickly shifted. So somebody thought Miami was worth being the favorite here.
Yeah.
Somebody smarter than me. So I will not be watching that game, though.
No.
That's actually not a bad aesthetic matchup, though. That one I kind of like. You know, we talk about this like every week. This is just kind of a recurring bit. But I don't hate that.
Yeah, it's a little... It's some good contrast there.
Yeah, but not like in a weird way.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm with you on that.
All right, maybe we'll ask Sam about that as we shift.
I think that they stop baking that into the lines, the aesthetics of games.
Hey, maybe you and I will just kind of corner a new market.
Like
there.
I think there's gonna be a much larger handle on this game this week because like the aesthetics.
Problem though here is Miami's probably wearing white at home, and so then
that could take away.
Atlanta wears like those gradient. Crappy red or whatever. That's a tough look, man. Now I'm back out. Don't love it. So, all right, let's go talk to Nesson betting analyst Sam Paniatovich and get his take on this woeful week of football. Now we welcome in Nesson betting analyst Sam Paniatovich. Sam, theme of this week is these games are just really bad, right? Yeah, you know, I mean, that's where I start.
I love that noise.
Is that
the car? Do we?
That might just be me, generally speaking, at this rate. But yeah,
Welcome back from the bye week. By the way, we gave you last week off. And
I know. Maybe you've heard Nesson Betts is up, busy around here.
There's a lot going on. Yeah, that is for sure. Does it matter to you much that it's just a terrible slate? Like, I guess start there. It's just how do you attack a week that there's really not a whole lot going on? It feels like theoretically it should be easier, maybe, or there's more opportunity.
These are the hardest weeks with the biggest spreads, but I think we learned the lesson of what the books will need this week because of what's happened the last couple of weeks. Now, there were some examples. Yeah, some favorites won, some public sides won, but for the most part, the favorites and the big favorites rolled. One of those decisions, the Cowboy-Patriot result, I mean, I told Ricky in the hallway, like, that was a great bet on the Patriots, +4. And the market closes 3, 3.5. Everything has to possibly go wrong where Dallas gets a field goal. They win the game in overtime by 6, covering all the numbers. So what do the books do? Well, they're going to make it more expensive on all these favorites. For example, Rams-Detroit up to 15. Like, that true line's probably 13. Arizona-Houston, that number up to 18, 18.5. That true number's probably 16. But the books are covering themselves on the explosive and the expensive teams. The Rams, the Cardinals, the Buccaneers, even the Packers. Like, that line is 9. Mike, you're a Cowboy guy. That doesn't even sound right. Packers -9 against the football team?
Yeah. I thought it might be down to 8.
8.5, 9 right
now.
Yeah,
that's high.
So you're being taxed if you want to play favorites, essentially.
Yeah,
in week
of course,
7.
Right, yeah.
Because of what's happened in 5 and 6. But at the same time, do I want to take the Texans?
Well that was going to be my thing, is like when you see spreads that inflated, like how do you sort of, like, at what point do you stop yourself and you're like, all right, well, I have to take Houston.
Sometimes this is,
and it would just stay away altogether, obviously.
It's a mental gymnastics act, Ricky, this entire season, because I've sat here and we've done this, you know, 5 out of 6 weeks where I've been at the desk and I'm like, I love the number. I don't love that number.
Yeah.
It's a big number, but now we're blending in, you know, the potential for blowouts. And do these teams quit? Do the Houston Texans, when they're down 21-3, do they give a damn? Are they going to rally up the wagons and come out of the chute in the third quarter and actually play with anything or play with a purpose? I don't know. So this is a very, very weird week. I will say the one big team that I'll play is Tampa Bay, and that number as we tape this is 12.5. I imagine that gets close to 14 by kickoff, because who in their right mind is going to look up on the weekend and go, oh, I'll bet the Bears. So that's still a number where I think you could get a decent price, and that'll probably keep moving up. Tampa might only need 24 points in that game. I mean, how many do the Bears get against Tampa? 10, maybe. That could be 24 to 10 very easily.
Yeah.
Most
yeah,
smiling.
Yeah. Well, no, you're just going to have to run into a few, like, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to look at like a blocked punt there or something, a defensive score.
Pass interference down the field.
Yeah.
It's an ugly week, boys. I mean, this will be a total week for me, but I know we pick spreads on this show because that's the name of the show. I mean, there's a game, Philly-Las Vegas. I think Philly is ripe for an upset at +3. Carolina and the Giants. I know we've talked, Mike, about not betting the Giants, but that number tells you to bet the Giants because everybody will bet Carolina. And the really weird game is this Thursday game. This game opened 5.5, 6. Cleveland at home against Denver. It's down to 2, 1.5. Baker Mayfield is out. Half the team is hurt. But Denver also, I think, sucks. So it's there's a combativeness in my brain this week for what to do.
It's going to be tough to get super contests this week.
We got to get the 5.
Yeah. Might just be Jesus take the wheel.
Have Teddy make a couple picks.
Teddy's smart. He is. He's got a good feel for it already. So,
I mean, that's more or less the approach we took with trying to find 3 good games for this week.
That's true. We had
2 that we were like, oh, okay, these are decent enough. These are workable. And then the third one, you know,
we should have just had my 10-month-old, figure out what games we're going to pick. One thing we were going to talk about last week or mentioned last week is coaching. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago with coaching and quarterbacks. How do you react to a situation like what happened in Vegas? I know it's easier with the benefit of hindsight, but I think if you look at even this week, Chicago, it feels like things are starting to percolate with Matt Nagy as well. I guess in terms of like a coach getting fired, how you react the next week and how you kind of look at the next coach who might be fired.
You're a big stay away from certain coaches
right.
guy.
Yes, I will
so
tell
you. Like, I'm wondering if there's certain just situations, like, you know, like the Gruden situation as an example.
Gruden
like,
was different
you just
too,
stay
though.
Away from that.
That one was complex because I don't like Gruden, but I also didn't like the Cowboys or the Broncos, right? They played the Broncos,
yeah,
so right. I stayed away from that one, and I had a bunch of people text me, oh, we should have taken the Raiders. You know, everybody says that after the fact.
But, like, it also wasn't, like, Gruden got fired because his team quit on him. You know what I mean? So that was kind of a different wrinkle, too. But generally speaking.
There's one defensive player I don't think Matt Nagy should throw under the bus and put it in reverse and then run him back over, and that's Jalen Johnson. Did you see what happened?
Yeah. They find him. For
he showed up a minute late, and they find him. You know, it wasn't a lot of money if you're making NFL money, but still, like, that's the one guy who's actually brought it on defense and who has been shutting down number one wide receivers essentially for 6 weeks now, and now he's upset.
Yeah.
So it's a tough scene in Chicago. I know that secondary has been very, very lenient on Jalen Johnson, and now, you know, he blasts the coach on social media. The coach comes out and says, we'll address it. I don't think that locker room lasts much longer. Mike, we talked about this before the season. I thought Matt Nagy should have been launched last year. And they always – what do the Bears always do? They lose and they don't cover against good teams. And what do we have here? A great team, potentially a Super Bowl contender. They won it last year. They'll likely be favored in the game if they go this year. The Bears should get pounded in Tampa. And that's a number where under 14, I think you're okay.
Do you monitor at all like the futures market for like next coach to get fired, or, you know, like when you start to see these types of things trickle out and you get to a certain point in the season, like, is that something that kind of on the side week to week, you're like, oh, I'll take a look and see where those numbers are at right now.
I don't look at it week to week, and that's a market that sort of comes and goes. It's not always up and active, but they do, you know, percolate it and post it every once in a while. I wouldn't be betting on any of the teams with any of the cats at the top, that's for sure. Yeah. And I think when you look, you think about that list, I mean, this year, you know, David Culley's got to be up there, but is he really going to get launched? Dan Campbell, are the Lions going to win a freaking football game this year? I don't know. I wouldn't bet Detroit anytime soon. But man, I can get 15 with Detroit. Maybe I'm interested. Like, I'm going, it's a teeter totter here where I know he's not a good coach, but the internal struggle is, you know, can I take this number with a bad team that may have quit? And, you know, when we get into week 9, 10, 11, 12, and some of these teams are 3-9, 3-10, they really do get railroaded sometimes.
Yeah. And to the point about like Campbell and, you know, the first year guys, I would be looking more towards who's at the top of that list, who's been around for a while, because I feel like those are the ones who are more likely to get quit on. I think Nagy is in that boat.
He's number one. I mean, he's first in the class photo of guys that need to go that have been there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like once you start doing things like finding one of your best players over something so small, that feels like a desperate attempt to regain power when it's starting to slip away. So that is something, but like that's all factored into it anyway too. So it's not like you're getting a huge edge or anything. Right?
No, you're not getting an edge. That's all built into the line. Everything that you could possibly think of goes into here, but mostly the bookmakers will build these lines. So they'll make their numbers, right? They have their power ratings. They compute these games out. And then what they'll do is when they sit in the back room, and I've been in the back room with these guys, that number will come out, Detroit and LA Rams, and they'll go 13. And somebody will go bleep. And they'll go, all right, well, 14. Let's add the hook, 14 and a half. And then it opens, you know, 14 and it, or 14 and a half, and then it gets, they're right, because it's going to get bet up no matter what. So these books are not going to put themselves in a position where they're liable on bad numbers. Why open at 15 when you could open at 17? Why open at 12 when you can open at 14? Like if you open Chicago, Tampa, 10 and a half, where do you think that number is going to go? You're going to write it to 13. So you might as well just open it at 12 and a half and see what happens from there. So well, they're catching up here.
It's a lot more palpable to take, too, if you're going to say, well, we have a lot of – you're not going to get a lot, but, like, say you had a lot of tickets of people taking the points with the Lions. You're like, well, we can live with that if we end up losing that, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Some teams still take the money. Yeah, you know, like, you know, some teams are always going to take the money. You're always going to get good teams catching points, taking money. Like, I think a big example was Kansas City, Buffalo. Even though the Chiefs were favored and they're popular, the Bills are a very good team, and they were catching 2.5, and they win that game easily. So, you know, we don't cry for the bookmaker, but we do pay attention to what the bookmaker does. And I guess this long roundabout answer on this segment is that there is value on a lot of dogs this week, but, man, you got to find the right ones.
I was gonna say, good luck picking one.
Yeah, it's a dart throw. All right, Sam, thank you as always. I am no less enthused about this week.
You weren't this excited last week either. We went 4-1.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Keep the pessimism flowing.
No, I'm just it has nothing to do.
Mike.
This has more to do with the
optimist.
No, it's the actual football than like making picks. Like we'll get to 5. I would know. No disputing that. It's just that it's going to suck when Sunday rolls around. I have to watch this. But
are we going
to
be on the Jets?
No, I don't think.
You said a few weeks ago you weren't going to go near them again this year.
I won't.
It's amazing how things
change. I'm testing
them.
I do kind of. Yeah.
How can you lay points with the Patriots?
I know. Yeah,
all right, I'm
that's
done.
The point.
I got to go. Stay away.
All right. Thanks, Sam. That is Nesson betting analyst Sam Paniovich joining me and Ricky for the spread. So that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. As always, good to get back to you.